Greetings, everybody. I'm Jonathan Alexander, editor of College Composition and Communication. And we're here today with Zhaozhe Wang, who is the author of Relive Differences Through a Material Flashback. Joining me also is Allison Zuba, editorial assistant for the journal. Thanks so much for joining us, Zhaozhe. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Thank you for inviting me.
No, not at all. I'm delighted to have a chance to chat with you about this piece. Which is coming out in the February 2019 issue. I was really excited to get it and delighted to shepherd it through to production because you do something very particular in this piece. Why don't you tell us what this piece is about and what you're doing in it?
All right, so in this piece, I argued for a reconceptualization of our rhetorical difference as a situated and emergent relationality, as well as performative and materialized, affordance. Right? So this article actually grew out of a paper that I wrote in a graduate seminar, which was Postmodern Theories. Thomas Rickert taught a course, and before that, I actually already started, you know, grappling with the idea of difference when I was heavily invested in the translingual scholarship. So a lot of the readings that we did in that seminar really shaped my approach to issues related to rhetorical difference. So for example, I was influenced by Laurie Gray's new materialist approach to rhetorical becoming, and Deleuze and Guattari's notion of rhizome, and of course Thomas's take on the ecological approach and ambient rhetoric. So what's interesting is at the same time I was taking Thomas's seminar, I was also taking a seminar on world Englishes taught by Margie Burns. And that offered me a new analytical lens to look at some of the specific textual features. So I thought, why don't I look into my own writing, that can help me illustrate my, thinking on rhetorical difference. And because, I'm the only person who gets to, observe, reflect on, and analyze my emergent differences as they materialize in my texts. Mm. So that's how my thinking came into being, and that's how this paper got into shape.
Tell us what you do in the actual essay, because you really look carefully at your own archive. So tell us about that.
So I collected about a couple dozens of texts that I wrote over the past 7 years. And like I said in the article, I put them together and I read them as if I was reading someone else's writing. Then went back and reread everything from the first piece of writing that I wrote up until the writing that I did 2 years ago. And then I was, during the process, I was trying to distance myself from the writing, but I was also trying to actively recall, the ecological context in which I wrote those texts. So with that, I wanted to illustrate how my understanding of difference, how they materialized in my texts over time and, within different geographic and disciplinary contexts. Yep.
So now that you've written the piece and it's coming out in February, what are you thinking about it right now? For you, what is your personal takeaway from having gone through this autoethnographic exploration of your own writing are ecologically situated? What are you thinking about right now about this piece as you reflect on it?
That's a good question. So right now, as I look at it, I'm situated in a different ecology as I look back into, the writing that I did 2 years ago. So um, So I'm not sure how to articulate my thinking at this point, but I guess
it's a tough question. You might have to collect another archive of words to figure out. So you're speaking to so many different parts of the profession, so many people, from those who are engaged in studies in translingualism all the way to those who are interested in rhetorical ecologies, et cetera, can really think through your piece. What specific intervention do you hope to make? So if you think about the field of composition, writing studies, rhetoric broadly, what should change based on your article?
All right, so the reason that I began thinking about the notion of difference is because I saw and experienced some of the material consequences of how we used to, and I believe we still do, frame difference in our scholarship as well as our, programmatic and pedagogical practices, right? So, for example, in my institute in Purdue, which is a big STEM school, and our placement practices are sort of simplistic, given the size of our student body and given the fact that we have one of the largest international student populations and I believe the most diverse groups. So put simply, your nationality and citizenship pretty much determine your placement. So although we adopted the directed self-placement approach, but for the most part, if you are an F1 visa holder, you're highly likely to end up in, one of those multilingual sections of the first year writing. Of course, I'm not saying that the multilingual sections are, somewhat easier or substandard, but what I'm trying to say is they have different course objectives and course outcomes, which may not benefit, students that that write well in English. So, when I was teaching the multilingual section of first year writing, I had students from Singapore, from India, who wrote, I would say, substantially even better than domestic sort of English native speakers that I used to teach. So I couldn't help but wonder, how much they would gain from, a multilingual section of first year writing. So basically our current practices, be it placement practices or pedagogical practices, are sort of making this implicit argument that difference is just there for us to label and to categorize and to structure, for our administrative expediency or, which I think is, quite concerning and problematic. So I hope through this article, scholars in our field and practitioners, administrators and teachers could rethink difference as, not give us a set of terms to simplify our communication or, consequently our thinking, but to help us to notice and to be aware and, to be more sensitive. Yeah.
Oh, it totally makes sense. And I really appreciate how your article thinks through, as you put it, sort of the material consequences of your difference. I also think of your piece as addressing, maybe not explicitly, but certainly implicitly, a movement within the larger field to reevaluate the role and the place of personal writing. And although you're not necessarily engaging in what would traditionally be understood as personal writing, your autoethnographic approach is still a very personal one. And
exactly.
I appreciate the chance to kind of see the field rethink the personal vis-a-vis, in your case, the political very, very powerfully. Allison, what is your thought here?
Sure. So as you were saying just a moment ago, this idea of how administrators, how teachers of writing imagine difference in their classrooms or address difference in their classrooms. And you mentioned in your piece, there are questions that they ought to ask. What was different then? What is now? In relation to what and who? So I'm curious, for whose or what's benefit would be looking at difference critically, to whose benefit? So the students benefit, the instructors, the institution. I know there's at least on an institutional level a move to valorize diversity in the student population, but whose benefit is the recognition of these differences?
I would say all the stakeholders involved, including students and administrators and teachers as well, because we are constantly involved in this cross-cultural communication, and having that rhetorical sensibility is really important in a highly globalized society. Particularly given given that we tend to valorize the discourse of difference in our institutional practices, and given that we are heavily influenced by this neoliberal political climate. So I would say every single stakeholder would be would benefit from a reconceptualized understanding of difference.
We certainly have a long way to go before we get there, but I do appreciate that your article helps us get there.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking with Zhaozhe Wang, who is the author of Relive Differences Through a Material Flashback. You can read this piece in the February 2019 issue of CCC. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.